Well, you didn't ask that question. I asked it for you. It has everything to do with holiness. Because holiness, as we've been studying, is a really big topic. But it's not something we talk about with our friends. How are you doing on holiness? How'd you do today? On a scale of 1 to 10, how holy were you today? I mean, you probably don't say that when you call your girlfriends, do you? I didn't think so, yeah. And yet, here we are as Christian women studying the Word of God together, and this is such a huge topic that when God is described in heaven and when the Apostle John is captivated and captured by the Holy Spirit and they open heaven to him in Revelation, the 4th chapter, and a voice says, come up, John. And he comes up to heaven, to the 3rd heaven, and he begins to describe what he sees as the throne of God. And he begins to take us out of time and into eternity. And there he describes God and God's throne. And what we see and what we hear there are cherubim and seraphs that are massive creatures, bigger than I can wrap my mind around. 6 wings. Ezekiel saw these creatures. They're not in 3 dimension because God is not corporeal. He's not living in a material world like we are. He lives in eternity. And these massive, majestic creatures cry out as John sees the throne of God. They cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." And so there we see that God describes himself not as they don't cry out love, 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 love. They don't cry out power, power, power. They cry out holy. So obviously this word holy is a God word, and God wants us to understand it because he says he's holy. So just as a little bit of review, holiness, I defined it for us in a very simplistic way because we are learning about God. Amen? And when you're learning about something new, you got to go real slow and real simple. I'm learning how to sail right now with my husband, Jim. Okay? So to sail, I have got to learn a whole new vocabulary about the ocean and about boats. Starboard, port, the bow, the stern. Ropes are not called ropes, they're called lines. Wind and the direction and all of this terminology. And I am not very, very smart. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. So it's taking me a really long time. So I ordered this thing online, and it was about how to figure out the direction of the winds, because I can't figure it out. I have no depth perception. And when the wind is blowing on my face, I could not tell you what direction it's coming from. I just can't. I can't feel it. I haven't thought about it. And if you were on that boat with me, you would probably say the same thing. So I ordered this really, really simple little thing for children on sailing, and I'm learning it, and I thought about us, and I thought, that's exactly how we are with holiness, with God. It's a brand new thing for us. We really don't understand it. We don't see it. It's like the wind. You can't touch it. You can feel it, but you can't grab the wind. You have to learn the wind by experience, by feel, and by watching where the wind goes. And so holiness, God is holy, and holy, so my simple definition is absolute wholeness and perfection. God is absolutely whole, W-H-O-L-E. He never is less than who he is. He never diminishes. He never is less than when he's created heaven and earth. He doesn't run out of creativity. When he's forgiven you for the 5,860th time, he does not run out of patience with you and says, that's it, you're out of here, I'm done. You have just touched my last nerve, and you are out of my life. You see, God is infinite in mercy. He's whole. He's infinite in love. He doesn't ever get tired and stop agape love. His love continues on for eternity. He is absolutely whole, and we found out that anything that isn't absolutely whole isn't 100%, right? So we found out that God is absolute whole, W-H-O-L-E, and he's perfect. He's absolute perfection. Look at the girl next to you and just take a good look at this beautiful girl next to you. Yeah. She's beautiful. She is beautiful, but she's not absolutely perfect. Even though she may think she is, which is good, good sign of some good self-esteem there, godly esteem. We'll never be perfect this side of heaven, but he's perfect. Because it's not about perfect people, it is about a perfect God. We live in a fallen world that is very imperfect, that's why there's a lot of trouble. But God is absolute wholeness and perfection. And here's the thing. Now God says, I'm holy, now I want you to be holy. And that just blows me away because it's like, okay, God, you're absolutely whole and I've got some stuff in me. I'm not 100%. I'm trying. But there's still some old nature in me that just keeps leaking out of my personality. I have another person that lives with me, my evil twin. And this week, my evil twin wanted to tell off one of my daughters, wanted to fight with my husband, wanted to pitch a fit over my finances, wanted to be very, very irritable and afraid, and wanted to eat everything I could get my hands on. That was just a little bit of my other life. Does anybody else have an evil twin? Yeah. You little liars. It's called our old nature. But when we were born again, God says he translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and all things have passed away, and all things have become new, and I got a brand new nature. My spirit was born again, and therefore what God was and what God is and what God will be as my father, he has now put his DNA on the inside of my spirit. My spirit is perfect and blameless and holy before God. Because God says you are holy. Positionally, you're holy. You can't get any more holy than you already are. You are whole and perfect to God. So that is our position. But along with position comes practice, comes the everyday process of walking out and living out my salvation. And that is where holiness indeed comes into my everyday life. Are you with me? Because every day I screw up. There are days I don't screw up as much as other days. But every day I can screw up. And when I think I'm pretty good, then God will begin to deal with my heart and start peeling layers of my heart and show me where I need to grow up unto him, because I'm already perfect, but I'm coming up. And Paul said that every day he presses towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He says, not that I've gotten it or I've attained it, but I'm pressing in. I forget what lies behind and I'm running towards that mark. So girls, we're on this amazing journey of life with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit as our trainer, our coach, our teacher, our standby, our advocate, our attorney, our mother, our father. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of us, and he is taking us on this amazing journey of holiness. And he's working out with us this salvation every single day. Now, holiness is a position, but it's also a practice. Now, we've been looking at five things about practicing holiness. Now, this is where the church gets very weird. Because when we start to put holiness, wholeness, and perfection in a religious box, two things happen, okay? Number one thing is the people that are very disciplined love rules and regulations. And they do this very well, and they get very, very good at obeying, and they become self-righteous. And then everybody else is not as good as they are, and churches get religious and judgmental, right? Then there's the other part of the family that just can't do that because they are not disciplined. They're the binge eaters. They're the ones that go to the refrigerator at midnight or smoke too much or drink too much or do drugs or have too much sex. Or, you know, they're the ones like me that did all the screw-ups. And I'm not very disciplined in my other life. And so therefore, I just go, forget it. It's too hard. I can't go there. And off you go into the world. Right? So when you become religious and you put God in this box of rules and regulations and you go back to the law, which we're learning about in Galatians, you do two things. The very, very, very self-disciplined people love it and they get comfy and they get very self-righteous, and the rebellious and the unruly leave. Because they can't do it anyway, so why mess everybody else up? Let's just go party and have fun. Do I have a witness in this house? Has anybody been there besides me? So that's not what God's talking about. God's not saying, I want to run you off and you get so self-condemned about yourself because you're never going to be what I want you to be that you just can't even do this. He's not saying that. And he's not saying, I've got all these rules and regulations for you, so, you know, forget life, don't have any fun, and it's just going to be dull, boring, and you're going to have to marry somebody with glasses and overweight, and, you know, he's not going to be your type at all, and you're going to have a boring life, and you're never going to do anything for me, and it's just going to be rules, rules, rules. He's not saying that either. He's saying, be holy like I'm holy. Step into this amazing kingdom life. This amazing kingdom life. Whereby when you begin to work out your salvation and you begin to hear from the Holy Spirit what is right and what is wrong, and when the convicting power of God gets on the inside of you and you begin to turn away from that thing that God doesn't like and you begin to walk in the ways of God, all of a sudden you become like your Father, and the very things that are waiting for you and the inheritance of the kingdom that he's wanting to give to you begin to come easily into your hand, because now you act like him, think like him, you're desires are turning towards him, and the supernatural power of the kingdom of God begins to work through you. That's why God wants us to grow up, because he's got a business and a kingdom to hand us, but he can't hand it to children. He has to hand it to mature, grown children that he can entrust with his power and his love, because otherwise we would screw people up. Are you with me? I grew up in a church that told me you can't drink, you can't smoke, you can't dance. Can't have any fun. You can't wear makeup. You can't wear cool clothes. And I said, forget it. I'm out of here. I had a lot of rules growing up, but God's not saying that. But he is saying five things to us about holiness. Now, the five things I went over very quickly, and I want to review them, and then we're going to just go to the last one today. Number one, I said, you're going to have to choose holiness as a way. There's a highway of holiness. Every day when you wake up, it's Lord, it's you and me today. I'm going to work out my salvation with the Holy Spirit. And I choose life today. I choose to live by the kingdom of God today. I choose your way today. It's a choice every day. Number two, fear the Lord. See, when I'm afraid of God, now I'm not afraid of God that he's going to kill me, because the fear of the Lord absolutely eradicates wrath and fear of punishment. But oh, I respect you so much, Father. I'm beginning to really see that this thing isn't about me, and that you're bigger than I can wrap my mind around, and that you love me so much you couldn't live without me. And therefore, whatever you hate, I want to hate. And whatever you love, oh God, I want to love it. I want to learn to walk in the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord, my darling, beautiful sisters, is the beginning of wisdom. And Proverbs 31 says, charm is deceiving and beauty is vain because it's passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Let her eat of the fruit of her life, and she'll be praised at the gates of the city, and her children will rise up and call her blessed, and her husband will be famous in the land. See, the fear of the Lord is a very amazing thing. So choose holiness. Choose the fear of the Lord. Let godly sorrow produce repentance. In other words, when I screw up, it's time to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm messed up here, and I don't like how I feel. You see, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you is not going to let you do something over and over again that he doesn't like in your life without talking to you about it. That's why I don't have to give you a set of rules and regulations, because you've got the Holy Spirit who's already going to tell you when you've gone too far. What might be right for somebody else may not be right for another girl. What God told me to do, I put away drinking wine and any kind of alcohol when we first got married. God doesn't say you can never have a glass of wine. He says, don't be drunk. So I'm not going to tell you not to drink. I'm going to say, why would you want to put something in your body that's going to mess you up? But if you want to drink, you can drink. He turned water into wine. It's not a sin to drink. But don't get drunk, the Word of God says. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, when you repent, it's because God's spoken to you and you know something's not right. Now, if you're not getting any feelings from the Holy Spirit and there's no warning signs on the inside of you, you need to come see me. Because you cannot continue in sin and be born again. You will be miserable. You are ruined for sin. What you used to be able to do, you can't do anymore. Even though you go back and try it, you are going to be so miserable, you won't be able to stay in that sin, because God, the Holy Spirit's on the inside of you. So when you screw up, it's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from the unrighteousness. Give me the power by the grace of God to do what His truth demands of me. When I screw up and I got a bad habit, God, I keep doing the same thing. Help me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, give me the power and the grace. And the blood of Jesus begins to wash the stain of that thing away from you. It takes time. Just like there's things that sear your heart, there are things in the Word of God that come and press on the inside of you. And they begin to etch a picture of God on the inside of you. But it takes time. And let the Holy Spirit take His divine scalpel and begin to etch the image of the woman God's making you to be. But give yourself some time and give others grace and time to change. It takes time. 30 years ago, you wouldn't have liked me very much. But God loved me and gave me space to change. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in this house, we love each other to life, not death. We're not under the law, we're under grace. Now, it doesn't give us a license to sin, but it gives us a mandate to love people to life. And when somebody falls, we help them get back up in love, not in condemnation. So God says, choose. God says, fear the Lord. God says, repent. God says, number four, put on the new man. If you're going to walk in holiness every day, you're going to have to take that evil twin off of you because it wants to stay on. It's talked to you all your life. It's got a lot of hungry appetites and strong wills. And I'm going to have to strip off that old man and put on the new man every day. Number five is where I want to go today. In the next 20 minutes, I want to just look at some things about number five. And number five is focus. Expect His return. That's an odd thing to talk about with holiness. Focus. Expect His return. What does that mean, Debbie? You want me to be holy, and so you told me to choose holiness, told me to fear God, that I get. You told me to repent. Okay, I can do that. I'm a good repenter. And you told me to put on the new man. I'm learning how to do that, renew my mind with the Word of God. I'm learning that. But focus, expect His return. You see, we don't talk about that a lot in the 21st century church. But there are over, let me see if I can find my statistics. There are over, I have my notebook, 216 chapters in the New Testament. Out of those 216 chapters, there are 318 times that we are told about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants us to think about this? He does. And so number five is where I want to land today. And I want you to take your Bibles with me. And I want you to go with me to 1 Peter. Did I say 1 Peter? Is a test. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And I want you to look with me at verse 10 in 2 Peter. Now, Peter's talking to the church. And he's actually talking to them about walking in holiness. And he says that in the last days, there's going to come people that are going to say, where is the second coming of Jesus Christ? Everything's the way it's always been, which is what they're saying today. And he says, where's the promise of His coming in verse 4? For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, earth standing out of water, that the heavens and the earth, verse 7, are preserved by the same word, they're reserved for fire, that fire is coming, wrath is coming, judgment is coming, the day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Paul said, we are of all people most miserable if there is no resurrection from the dead. Then why? Why do we live the way we lived? He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was thrown in prison. The early church marched their children into the arenas of Rome, and they were wrapped in animal skins, and they were eaten alive by animals. God did not start His church in an easy way. Every single disciple, every apostle except John, was killed and martyred. Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas was speared to death and crucified on an X cross in India. The list goes on and on and on. Paul said, he writes to the church at Corinth and he says, what are you doing? You think this is a game, this Christianity? You think that we just come to church and we just show up and we're just establishing these communities, these social communities? He said, this is life and death. This is not about having a great time on the planet. It's not about life being perfect. This is about eternity and who you really are and where life really is. And he begins to talk about the last days, and he begins to talk about eternity. And you and I live in this dirt ball called earth. I live in a linear line called time. It's all I know. You come here, and you come here with real problems. You come here with marriages that have fallen apart. You come here with not enough money in your checkbooks. You come here with broken hearts and broken relationships. You come here with a whole plethora of human conditions. So that's all you know, because it's the life you're living and it's the life I'm living. But I either believe what God says in his word, or I listen to the circumstances of my life, and God says that there's something more than what you see. There's an invisible world, that out of the invisible, I made the visible. That by the word of God, the planets were formed. That he is the living, breathing word of God. He's the logos of God. He spoke and it was. And he loved us so much that when we fell, he said, I can't live without you. And he came and he rescued us, and he's bringing us home again. And if we do not fix our minds on this truth, then we become religious women with a social structure of behavior that has no power. And I need power. I need healing. I need miracles. I need to see the move of God in my life. I need to see my world changed. Not by the arm of the flesh and the natural, but by the supernatural miracle working power of the invisible God that loves me so much that he couldn't live without me. And he says, fix your mind, focus your life on the fact that I am coming for you, child. I am coming again, child. And what you see is not how it's really going to be. That this dust bowl is going to dry up, and it's going to be a flame of wrath and judgment. And I'm creating a new heaven and a new earth. And you are going to rule and reign with me in eternity. And you are the companion to my son. The church is the bride of Christ. And that we are bone of his bone. We are flesh of his flesh. And you and I have an eternity, and the best is yet to come. But if I don't fix my mind on that, then life overwhelms me. Life doesn't make sense. Life is hard. And Paul knew it better than anybody. He was given the dispensation of grace. He was given the assignment to evangelize the world, and he was thrown in a prison for 2/3 of his ministry. Burning in his bones the word of God to go and preach, and yet God had him in a prison to write these letters, so that you and I would understand this amazing grace and incredible salvation and life that God has given us. Now, are your friends going to think you're crazy? Absolutely. Are people that don't love Jesus and understand Jesus and believe Jesus, are they going to think you've lost your mind? Absolutely, you have. But we put on the mind of Christ. So Christianity is not for cowards, because it's radical. It's no holds barred. It's dive in with all your heart. Believe him with everything you've got. And be willing to lay your life down for everything he asks you to do. Because if you're not willing to do that, my darling, beautiful sisters, your life will be very boring, monotonous, social, without power. You'll find a church that you're comfortable in, but you'll never fulfill the destiny of why God made you and why you're on this planet and what you're wired to do before you go home. So number 5, focus, 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 expect his return. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? Peter says, because this is happening, what kind of people, what kind of women ought we to be in holy conduct, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, this is where we're going to land. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. Therefore, child of God, daughter of the King. Therefore, righteous one. Therefore, holy girl. Therefore, no matter what kind of hell is going on in your life, no, what kind of discouragement and disappointment's going on in your life. Therefore, no matter what you're hearing on the news, what you're feeling in your body, what your family is doing, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, to what things? The return of the Lord. Be diligent to be found by him. Circle that in your Bible, because he's looking and I want to be found by him, because holiness has everything to do with success. Because when I begin to walk in the holiness of God by practice, I'm already positionally holy, but I begin to work it out, the favor of God begins to come into my life. Favor is not earned, it's received. It comes from God, it flows through man. But God is looking to bestow his favor on his people. You have children. When your children obey you and love you and do everything they can for you, what do you want to do with your children? You want to bless them. You want to treat them. You want to make sure that everything you can possibly give them, you get to them. Why? Because they are following your orders, your commands, loving you, doing what you've asked them to do, and growing up to be responsible, amazing people. And you want to do everything in your power to bless your children. If you, being evil, it says in the Word of God, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? When I begin to work this thing out in my life, the favor of God begins to come into my life. So being found by him, three things: in peace, without spot, and blameless. Three things. We're going to close today. God is looking, and God is watching. He's not up there with a big stick ready to bat me in the head because I've screwed up. We've already established that. If you are a major screw up in this house right now, take a deep breath. Nobody knows but God, and it's not our business. And he loves you. He is not mad at you. But he does want to fix the screw ups in your life. He wants to change your direction and change your course. But he's looking for us. He says, I want you to focus on my return. Why? Because when you focus on my return, some things happen in your heart. It sets your priorities. It focuses you. It gets you looking and going in the right direction. You're on the right road when you expect his return. Because he's looking, he wants to find us, number one, in peace. In peace. Number two, it says in verse 14, without spot. And number three, blameless. So we're just going to look at three things this morning about holiness. Being found by him in peace. What does that mean, in peace? It means that you are not stressed out in your life about the circumstances. You're not stressed out in your life about what is happening in your life. You are not anxious and frightened and worried. You have found out that he's in control. Therefore, no matter what kind of hell comes your way, you say in your heart, be still. Be at peace. If I can trust him with my eternity, I can trust him with my today. He is the Prince of Peace. John 14:27 in the Amplified says, peace I leave with you. Jesus speaking to me. Debbie, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving. You're not going to see me on the planet because I'm going to the heavens. That's what he told his disciples. But this is a personal word to me. You don't think I need peace in my life as a pastor over a church like this? Jesus says to me every day, child, peace I leave with you. My own peace I give you. I bequeath it to you. It is your inheritance, not as the world gives you, but I give to you. Don't let your heart be troubled, Debbie. Neither let your heart be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful and intimidated, cowardly and unsettled. That's the Amplified. John 14:27. God says to me, child, you don't need to be a coward. You don't need to be intimidated by bad news. You don't need to be intimidated by people. People intimidate us. We're so insecure as women. We don't even want to go there today. So we're afraid of people. Listen, when you've met Jesus, nobody else ought to impress you. We're called to honor all men, but we love and we worship only one. His name is Jesus, our King and our priest. So you don't need to be afraid of people. You should be so secure in the love that God has for you, that you and I could march up to the White House and meet President Obama and be at peace. And we could go down to Fifth Street and we could have a conversation and love on and pray with some prostitutes. Are you hearing what I'm saying? From the top to the bottom, they're just people. You've met the Prince of Peace. He's given you peace. Don't let people intimidate you. Not the doctors, not the attorneys, not the judges, not ministers, not politicians, not bosses. Respect them, love them, honor them, yes, but do not be intimidated by people. Do not be intimidated by money. Why? Because you know the King of Kings, and better yet, he knows you. What does it mean to be found in peace? It means you're resting in faith. It means you actually are now a resting place for the Holy Spirit. Because a proof of faith is rest. You've prayed about it. You've given it to God. Things haven't changed, and now you are between the amen and the hallelujah. The amen says, yes, Lord, I've prayed the prayer of faith with you. I believe it. I've got the promise of God. I've asked you for it. It's settled in my heart. That's the amen. But then there's this long piece of life between the amen and the hallelujah. Means it's manifested. It's actually in my life now. And that's the place of rest and faith. And that can be a long time or a short time, just depending on circumstances and God's plan. So God says, I want to find you, child, not intimidated. I want to find you resting in faith, and I want to find you waiting patiently. What does that mean? It means if Jesus were to come today, how would he find us? I want to show you a video about the second coming of the Lord and what it might be like. Are you got that ready? Are we queued up? Can you dim the lights? Watch this.
Without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good.
Of an eye, he could come today, just like that, just like that. He's looking for us to be found in peace. Number two, to be found spotless. Holiness, what does that mean? Spotless, it means you're not dirty. When your kids go out to play and they play in the dirt, they get dirty. You got to wash them. When you wear clothes and they get stains on them, you got to wash the clothes because they've got dirt on them. He says, I want you to be found by me. Number one, in peace. Number two, spotless. Well, how do I stay clean, Lord? He tells us how to stay clean in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26, talking about Jesus and the church, it says that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. When I am in the Word of God, when I'm listening to the Word of God, when I'm obeying the Word of God, then the Word of God has the power to bring itself to pass in my life. It begins to wash me. It begins to change me. It begins to rearrange the way I think. What I used to do, I now read the Word of God and it gets inside of me and it begins to change the way I think, and I don't want to do that anymore. So what are you listening to? What are you looking at? And what are you living in? Keep yourself unspotted. What else does it mean? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says in verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I'll not be brought under the power of anything. Food's for the stomach, the stomach's for food. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body's not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. That's it. We're going to sex. And the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who's joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:16. More is going on in sex than we know. When you have sex with somebody, you become one flesh with them, spirit to spirit. We live in a world that says sex is okay. We live in a world where you can't turn the television on. You can't go to a movie. You cannot do one thing on this planet, in this nation, that is not showing you some kind of sex that is outside of marriage. And anything outside of marriage, as far as God is concerned, is unlawful, unholy. It will make me dirty, and it will actually destroy my life. Now, I have to be careful about how I talk about this, because I don't want to destroy you, but you've got to know this, that if you are having sex outside of marriage, if you are not married to the man you're having sex with, you are in sin, and you are joining yourself spirit to spirit. You know what that means? It means all the baggage they've got has just now come on you. You cannot just have a casual affair. You cannot just go sleep with somebody, they break up with you, and off you go, and off they go, and then you go sleep with somebody else. You can do that, because I know I did that in the 60s. But it will catch up with you. And you will take things on that you never wanted to take on. Depression. You'll begin to hate yourself. You'll begin to long for love, and you'll never find it. And you'll begin, and Satan will begin to drive you and drive you and drive you, and there'll be a spirit of lust that'll come on you, and you won't even know what happened to you, and you are caught in the trap of unholy sex. God gave it as a gift of life, as intimacy between husband and wife to become one. It's a mystery. It's beautiful. But when you do it outside of marriage, you've opened yourself up to a soul tie. You've opened yourself up to hell. Now, we're not here to keep you in hell. We're here to get you out of hell. You're looking at a woman before Jesus Christ that really sinned. So I know what I'm talking about. Some of you can't get away from the men that you're with. Some of you keep going back to abusers. Some of you keep going back to the men that don't love you, the ones that cheat on you. Why? Because you have absolutely no idea how valuable and precious you are, and yet because of the things that you've allowed in your life, because I'm going to show you now in 1 Thessalonians, if you'll go there with me. Well, let me just read this to you. Do you not know that he's joined to a harlot is one body with her? Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against her own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and that you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, when you have sex outside of marriage, it is the one thing that you sin against your own flesh. You form a tie. Things happen in your life. Things happen in your heart. And you don't even know what's going on. It's right there in the Word of God. Can you see it? Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to read you verses 1 and 8. I'm talking about sex outside of marriage. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Sanctification is another word for progressive holiness. Walking it out, fleshing it out in your life. That's what sanctification means. I am holy by position, but by practice I am fleshing out my holiness. I'm walking out my salvation. It's called sanctification. I'm being separated by the power of grace in me, the Holy Spirit, to walk holy with God. That's what sanctification means. So it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Possess my own vessel? What does that mean? Not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who's given us the Holy Spirit. So these are pretty, pretty strong words. Now, I'm not giving you my opinion. God has written out some things that I can't change. This is not a box of rules and regulations. These are the commandments of God because something's going on that you don't know about. When you have sex outside of marriage, you join yourselves and become one flesh. And that word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, would you join a harlot to the Spirit of Christ? It's spirit to spirit. This thing is not just about physical sex. It is about the heart. Now God says, I need you to possess your own vessel. Now what does that mean? A vessel in the Greek, that word in the Greek means your own gear, your own equipment. God says, I want you to possess it. It doesn't belong to anybody else. Until you get married, and in that covenant relationship, your body now belongs to your husband, and your husband's body now belongs to you. But until that time, your gear, your vessel, your equipment is locked up tight, and it's holy unto the Lord. Are you hearing me, beautiful girls? Because there's everything in this world that wants to unlock your heart. Because Satan knows if he can get you in a wrong relationship of sex, he will take you out and take you down. But God has a better plan for your life. Now, if you have been in illegal sex or you're in a relationship you cannot get out of, when this is over and you would like to get free, Joanna and I are going to be in a little room called the altar workers room, and we are going to pray with you. I cannot untie your soul, but God can. And I had a soul tie I couldn't get rid of. And a pastor told me, I cannot do this for you, but I can go to the throne with you. And if you are serious about your commitment to Jesus Christ, he can set you free from this relationship. And when I prayed that prayer, I don't know how it happened. I can't explain it. I can't describe it. But where I could never get away from that drug dealer, now I had the ability to get away and move on with my life. Was it easy? No. Did I still have to crucify the flesh? Absolutely. But that tie, that unholy, unrighteous chain of bondage was broken off of my heart. But I had to be willing to live holy and clean before the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So God says, I want to find you at peace. I want to find you spotless. And the last one, I want to find you blameless. Lord, these are hard things. That's where the grace of God comes in. Because God's grace gives you the power to do what his word demands of us. The last thing, we're going to end with this. Gone long enough. Blameless. Let's go back just to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter says that you would be found blameless. Now, what does blameless mean? It means that when somebody talks about you, they can't find anything wrong to talk about. Because you're blameless. They may lie about you, and they may say things about you that aren't true, and that will happen, but in your heart of hearts, you're blameless. And this is what it says. If you'll go with me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, here's the secret to blamelessness. It says in Philippians 2, 14, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be found blameless and harmless. Children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, Lord, I want to be blameless. Good, Deb, you want to be blameless? Oh, God, I do. I know they're going to lie about me, but I want to be blameless. Okay, child, it's real simple. All you have to do is two things, child. Stop complaining about everything in your life. Can I have the verse 14 back? Stop complaining about everything in your life. Do all things without complaining and disputing. And stop being a disputer, arguing, wanting it your way. That every time something happens, you got another way, you got another idea. How come it can't be this way? It's called disputing. So, girls, you want to be blameless? No more complaining. Zip it up. And you know the disputing? My husband is hysterical. We had to empty out a pond. We have a little fish pond. He said to me, he said, okay, you are my $10 helper. He said, you are not my partner. You are my helper. I have done this more than you've ever done it. I know how to do this. I know you always have a dispute. You always have an idea. You always have another way. You are my $10 helper. So I said, jawohl, mein Kommandant. I said, you are my captain, my captain. I will follow you anywhere. So there we go, to clean out the pond. I had a better way. I begin to do what I do well, which is to dispute. And he said, you have just been reduced from $10 to $5. What am I saying? Blameless. Complaining and disputing. I think the men call it nagging. So girls, what is God saying? You're holy. In heaven, in your spirit, you can't get more holy than you already are. Saints mean holy ones. That's what it means to be a saint, a holy one. You are holy. But now there is a practice and a position and a practice of working it out. Choose holiness, number one. Fear God, number two. Repent as much as you need to. Put on Jesus Christ, number four. And number five, focus. Focus on his return. Expect him to return, because when you do, he says, I want to find you pure, at peace, spotless, and blameless. And we love you, and we are here to see that you get to heaven, and you get there with full rewards, because we love you, and we're on your side.